Call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. We have two bills that we're going to hear today and possibly work. And we also have a work session scheduled for Senate Bill 880, but after yesterday's work session, there are a couple more tweaks that we want to make in this bill, and that will take a little bit of time, so we will carry 880 over to next Tuesday's Senate Finance and Revenue meeting. So at this time, I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2161.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, House Bill 2161 updates archaic language, reorders definitions, and conforms language throughout the central assessment statutes. It permits appeal from notice of intent to impose delinquency penalty within 30 days from mailing of notice. Currently, appeals may have to wait several months. This bill changes lien date for taxes levied on mutual and cooperative electric distribution systems to March 1st of each year from February 1st, which ensures consistency between ORS, between sections in ORS. By the way, since the original adoption in 1909, the central assessment statutes have not been subject to comprehensive review. So this is the ORS effort to update and modernize the statute.
Okie dokie. John Phillips has signed up. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Excuse me, my name is John Phillips with the Oregon Department of Revenue, and this is one of our bills this session. This bill is a result of a work group that was put together many, many years ago, I think 2006. We gathered together members of the industries that are affected by these sets of statutes, and we talked to them about a wide range of issues. We came out of that group of meetings with three bill concepts. One of them was determined not to need a bill. A second one was passed last session, and this one was also submitted last session but pulled because of issues. We met with the work group members and worked out the issues and have it now ready. It's been there was two small amendments on the House side, again, because of further discussions, and our intention is to give you a bill that doesn't have any conflicts or any issues by anybody concerned that it... But as you will see on page 1, in line 20 and 21, where Legislative Council has put in a series of statements here about the policy and the intent of what this bill does, you'll see that on line 20 it says that the Legislative Assembly declares and then blah, 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 does not constitute a change in policies. So it's really our intent that this bill is not to change policy in any way, but that it just reorders some of the statutes. It moves around some definitions, and it updates some things. And I'd be happy to launch into what those changes are now.
Okay, so this is kind of a mini Scribner's bill, then.
Yes, and I hate to ever use the word housekeeping because I know that can be a red flag for some people, so I won't use that word.
Okay. Housekeeping is fine with me.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I'm so bad at it.
This bill... deals with an area of the statutes that require the Department of Revenue to appraise companies that are of a nature that have a system, like a railroad or an airline or an electric company or communications company. We appraise these under these statutes. It talks about who's assessable under these statutes, what the property and the nature of the property is under these statutes, how those values are transmitted to the county, and that's the general outline of it. In Section 2 of the bill... The fix we were trying to make in Section 2 is if at any time during a year the taxpayer fails to file the notice they're required to file, the return, they can be subject to a delinquent penalty. And the problem with that was that the penalty, the application was only allowed to be accepted during a narrow window in the summertime for some reason. There's a historical reason for that. But what the law doesn't recognize currently is that those changes can occur any time during the year. So if we add property and the taxpayer doesn't agree with us or doesn't disagree with us, and we add it to the tax rolls, and we file collect a late filing penalty from them, they can't challenge that late filing penalty until the next summer, unless it happens to occur during the summer. So it was kind of an odd timing thing. And so we inserted some language that said that there's a time frame within, originally we had 20 days, and the House changed it to 30, so there's a 30-day time frame, which is kind of consistent with other kinds of notices. So that's.
I can't help myself. Okay. Why on earth, what historical reason? Was it having to do with harvesting the crops?
Madam Chair, I am not certain as to the reason. I can tell you that I suspect what it was a result of is it's during that summer period when the director of the department is to review all of the values for these types of companies and then has a deadline of August 1st to finalize the values. And so it's in those discussions where a lot of times these things come out. You know, it's in the discussion of the return and our appraisal of the property where we say, well, we didn't see this piece of property and you haven't reported it and, you know, what's happened here. So that's where it comes out.
So this bill will do what to change that?
It will allow, then once the property is discovered, then we add it to the tax roll, and if it was not included on the return, a penalty is always assessable for property that's not included on a return. Mm-hmm. And so the taxpayer can say, well, I'd like you to waive that penalty. But they have to wait to request the waiver until that period of time.
Okay, so now they can do it within 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
And about three sessions ago, there was a bill that opened up the scope of our latitude to waive the penalty to encourage compliance. So we can waive a penalty, for example, by law and by rule for someone who it's their first time they've ever filed. Or if there's a good cause, and there's a couple of sideboards around that, but the intent is to get people to voluntarily comply.
Okey-dokey. All right.
Section 3 is sort of a definitional section, and so we've moved in definitions that were sort of scattered throughout this set of statutes and moved them into Section 3, which is 308.505. So you'll see definitions for inland water, interstate, you know, large private rail car company, and those kinds of things. We move them into there. We also delete the term that's defined as a telegraph company because we're unable to find any. The bill from last session deleted horses and wagons and telegraph is accessible, so this is kind of a follow-up to that. It's been around a long time. We moved some of the definitions of property from one statute to another, and so pulled them out of Section 4. We tried to economize on some words instead of being redundant in some sections. Instead of saying listing all these properties and then buildings and then saying and buildings, we just included them all under the word buildings. Move things to active voice. If I could just call your attention to the two changes that I think are above the sort of grammar and housekeeping level. The one I mentioned was the date for the notice, the 30 days. Okay, so they get that. The other one is in the Section 15, and Dave referenced this. And this changes the lien date for certain electric companies, cooperatives, in Section 15.
Mm-hmm.
Changes it from February 1 to March 1. And the reason why we're changing that is because last session, the cooperatives asked for additional time to file, and so they were granted an extra 30 days to file their return. But the lien that associates with the filing didn't track with that, and so this is kind of a conforming change, so that it just makes the lien effective on the same day as the return filing rather than the lien going into effect a month before they're actually required to file. So I don't know if you consider that substantive or not, but it was it's more of a conforming change in our view. There is no fiscal or revenue impact, and I'd be happy to answer any specific questions about the bill.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? Thank you. Looks like a worthy little bill. So I will close the public hearing. Anybody else of the three people who are left? Anybody else want to talk on this? Okay, I will close the hearing on House Bill 2161 and open a work session on 2061. Senator Rosenbaum.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2161 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Rosenbaum has moved House Bill 2161 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Telfer, would you like to carry this?
Sure.
Okay, now we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2654.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, House Bill 2654 clarifies that property tax apportionment provisions in ORS 368.710 apply only to countywide local option taxes imposed by county for road improvement, repair, or maintenance. This bill is intended to clarify that a countywide local option tax imposed by a county only for road improvement, repair, or maintenance, not the local option taxes imposed in general, will be subject to apportionment and compression dictated in ORS 368.710. So that's the summary of the bill.
Okay, we have Mike Meisen up. Comport.
Senator Hess, members of the committee, my name is Mike Eliason. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties. Basically, House Bill 2654 came about as a result of just trying to clarify one aspect of House Bill 3047, which came about in 2007 and kind of cleaned up some of the language of the county road fund statutes. The process of doing that, The resulting language kind of left a slight ambiguity as to whether the apportionment provisions of ORS 368.710 applied to all local option taxes or just to local option taxes for roads. And basically all this bill does is go back and make it clear that the apportionment provisions apply only to local option taxes for road improvements, not fire district levies or school district levies. Probably was already well understood, but basically this just makes it crystal clear that it only applies to local option taxes for roads. So that's basically the gist of the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Mine would be, was there a problem? Did this come up, or was it a fear of a potential problem?
Senator Hass, yeah, a few county councils mentioned as they looked through the language that it could be a little bit unclear, but there wasn't really any problem.
Other questions? Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to testify on House Bill 2654? The department? Stands down. Okay. Any other questions of day?
Mm-hmm. No, sir.
Any other questions of Senator Rosenbaum?
You want to have a recess while we
wait? We'll take a temporary recess and wait for the chair to instruct us. Otherwise, we could send this to the Committee on Health Care or something.
I like that.
We'll stand in recess for 5 minutes.
She made the motion.
Okay, so it's just
we had all of the testimony in it.
Had all the testimony?
Everybody that testified that was here did.
Is the outrage reduced enough now that we could actually try to move the bill?
I think so.
Okay, are we in work session?
No, yeah, we're still in public.
Okay.
We're in recess.
We're in recess. We'll come back from recess and open a work session, thank you, on House Bill 2654. Senator Rosenbaum.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2654 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Rosenbaum has moved House Bill 2654 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Hess, would you like to carry this?
Sure.
Okay, that concludes our business for the day. We are adjourned.